and welcome to the Abendology podcast. I'm really excited today to talk with Sarah Santacroce, who is a marketing specialist. And I love your little tagline of hippie turned business coach and also host of the Gentle Business Revolution podcast. So thank you so much for being here today, Sarah.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me, Renee.
Well, one of the reasons I'm really excited to talk with you is about marketing, because when I work with clients, this is one of the main areas where there seems to be resistance. Do you find that too when you're working with people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's marketing and sales usually, right?
Yes.
So yeah, totally. It's one of the lines I hear all the time. I hate marketing. I just wish I could just do what I'm good at and, you know, work with my clients and get them results, but I don't like marketing and sales.
Yeah. So how long have you been in marketing?
I've been in business for about 12 years. I started started in the social media in general, and then kind of from there pivoted towards LinkedIn only. And so that's what I've been doing for over 10 years now. And I'm still doing LinkedIn, helping my clients with positioning themselves as experts on LinkedIn. But about 2 years ago, I kind of had this maybe awakening, maybe epiphany, whatever you want to call it, but realizing that I don't want to do this LinkedIn thing for the rest of my life. And B, also realizing I think I have some bigger message to share when it comes to marketing. And I realized that what my clients always told me was this idea of bringing empathy into business and kindness. And so that's where I realized it's true. The marketing world is so aggressive and manipulative. And I think that's why so many heart-centered entrepreneurs hate it, just don't agree with it. And so that's where this idea of gentle marketing came to me.
I love that, because initially when you think of marketing, especially people that have been in business for a while, I think of like the hardcore pushing, you know, people and pressuring them, which nobody wants to do. So yeah. What are some of the ways that gentle marketing is different than that?
Yeah, well, it's really coming to your business as a whole person. I think when I thought about how am I going to call this, I also thought about this word integrity, which is super important to me. And, you know, coming with integrity, selling with integrity. And so you really come to your business as a whole human being. And if you do that, then gentleness and kindness is kind of a given, right? So the way that is different, what we've come to like really be used to almost in marketing is kind of the aggressive, loud, manipulative strategies, kind of this over-focus on problems. Every marketing course I ever took, it was like, find out who's your persona, your avatar, right? Mm-hmm. And then find out what their problem is and really dig deep into their problem. And that's where we kind of lose our connection with empathy, because we want to make so sure that we address their problem that we actually, as heart-centered entrepreneurs, we realize we're making them feel bad, our clients, right? If we talk about their problem all the time, well, obviously they're going to feel bad. And so I think that's the major shift. It's like, yes, obviously you want to address the problem, because that's where this tiny thing in your brain, the reticular activating system, comes in. There's this thing in your brain. Maybe you've noticed that when, you know, you're thinking about buying a new car, or for me, it's always happening with pregnant ladies. The minute I see one pregnant woman, I kind of start seeing them everywhere.
So true.
And so that's that little thing in your brain. And so we still want to address the problem, because that signals to our potential client that we have a solution to their problem. But the difference is that we don't want to make them feel bad about having that problem in the first place. We're just saying, I get it, you have this problem. Maybe we can even say, I had that same problem as well. I understand. And it's not your fault, right? And so really, that's where this empathy comes in. And it's it's these small things. It's usually, you know, has a lot to do with language, of course. The way you express something can be completely manipulative and aggressive, or it can be very gentle and kind.
So yeah.
I'm thinking of, you know, when I talked about integrity, it's also these kind of sleazy things where, for example, you're on a webinar and they tell you that it's live, where you just know that it's recorded. And I'm like, that's just not, you know, there's no integrity there. Don't tell me that it's live when we all know that it's not. And, you know, small things like that just became the norm somehow. And I'm like, when did that, you know, happen?
Yeah, when did this happen? I can't tell you the number of free webinars that I've got onto. I'm just wanting a little bit of information. So you listen to the hour pitch and then thinking, okay, it's at the end, I'll get the info. But no, then you have to pay more money to actually get the, you know, it's just so, yeah. It just leaves a bad taste in your mouth for that company.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it starts with, you know, becoming aware of these things, obviously, and for many heart-centered entrepreneurs, maybe they're already aware. But what I realized happened for myself, even, I just thought, well, I guess that's just what marketing is, right? And so becoming aware and then actually saying, but I don't have to do it that way. I can give myself permission to do it my way. And so it's kind of this courageous call to say, I'm going to listen to my own intuition and do it my way.
And especially a lot of people that I work with that perhaps don't have any business background, have been light workers and energy healers, they in this area, they tend maybe sometimes not to trust their intuition because they feel like they're lacking some sort of knowledge that the rest of us have.
Exactly. Yeah. Because we feel intimidated because it's not our area of expertise,
yep.
Right? So I'm writing this book, The Gentle Marketing Revolution, and I've never written a book before. So I'm intimidated as well with, you know, other authors and how is this done? And so it's funny because the two ladies who wrote the foreword, I kind of looked up to them because they are authors. And so I'm like, well, you know, can I do it that way? And they're like, Sarah, that's your thing. You're writing about gentle marketing. Do it your way. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So I feel like myself intimidated in an area that's not my expertise. And so clearly, yes, your light workers, they're like, I guess that's just how it works, this marketing thing. And no, it doesn't have to be that way.
And it's really wonderful to be in business right now where all of the expected norms are going out the window. So we're having this huge transformation in how we do business. So it's exciting to talk with you because marketing kind of feels like the leading edge of that.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things that you work with your clients about some gentle marketing ideas that feel more authentic?
Yeah, it's really comes down to kind of similar to what you probably help your clients with is first of all, knowing yourself, right? And I think in marketing, we got into this trend where marketing is all about doing, but it's just as important to, you know, be in the being and really figure out who you are, what your values are, what your worldview is, what your superpowers are, as I like to call them. And so figuring out those things and really bringing more of you to your marketing. And so that could be that, for example, personally, I don't like Facebook groups. And, you know, every guru out there tells you that you have to have a Facebook group. And so maybe that's something that your light workers hear as well. It's like, oh, this one person is really successful with Facebook groups, but if they really listen to their intuition, they're like, but
I don't want to do that. Yeah, exactly.
And so really figuring out, well, actually, probably that's not a good idea for you to, you know, force yourself to have a Facebook group. So what do you actually enjoy in marketing? Is it writing? Maybe it's a podcast like we are doing, going into deep conversations with people and that other people can then listen to. Is it maybe, you know, having webinars, but ditching the whole pitching and, you know, the long, boring intro and just doing it your way and saying, I'm just going to share 45 minutes of information. And at the end, if you want to get on a call with me, I'd be happy to do that. But there's no like program pitch or, you know, 20 minutes of blah, blah. And it's really liberating to actually do it that way.
Yeah, I think of it as this kind of like I think about all energy work is we want to attract our clients. Yes. Some of the hardcore sales that we were talking about, but I'm going to call them old fashioned sales techniques, those were coming from a place of lack where I need to get clients. I got to get, you know, everybody where let's move into a place of being authentic, like you're talking about, and attract the people that are attracted to our authenticity and who we are. So I do like social media if we're using it in that way, if you're using it as an opportunity to show your authentic self.
Of course. Yeah. And again, that's personal, right?
Right.
Maybe you like Facebook. Maybe someone else likes Twitter better. Maybe someone else is more comfortable on LinkedIn. It's really realizing what works for you, because what we've been told in marketing previously is like, find out who your avatar is and then, you know, spend all this time with your avatar and kind of target everything towards that person, which makes sense on one hand. Yes, you do want to find out, you know, if your ideal client is not on LinkedIn, obviously it doesn't make sense for you to be on LinkedIn, but it has to be a win-win situation. If you are completely uncomfortable and you hate this Facebook group, then people are going to notice that. They're going to notice your energy is not there. And so it needs to really be a win-win for both of you.
And also, if you're doing something that you don't like, you're not going to continue to do it. You know, just and I have found that a lot of marketing is consistency, is showing up and being there. And if it's something that you dread, then you're not going to show up 100% and you're not going to do it. And then who wants to live like that?
Exactly. Yeah. This pitching, you know, that some programs teach, like some of my competitors, they teach the way to pitch people on LinkedIn. And that's why we get all these automated messages. And you can do that, I think, for a while, but eventually, don't you think, Renee, you're going to wake up and say, I just can't do it anymore.
I can't do it anymore. And then that's when we get to burnout and depression and not liking your own business. We have to go back to that thought that this is your business. You're the CEO of this, of your company. How do you want to do it?
Right.
Yeah. So some of the things that I'm seeing now out there are podcasts. What else? The Facebook groups, which I agree with you, that's not my thing. You know, some people like that. So what are some of maybe other unique ways you see that people are marketing now that are more heart-centered?
I think collaboration is really the way to go. And, you know, even there's probably a pre-COVID collaboration and a post-COVID collaboration. And I'm just using COVID as kind of this, you know, before and after, this bridge time that we're in right now. And I think where we're heading in terms of collaborations is again, heartfelt collaborations with people who are aligned with your values. And so it's none of this, you know, kind of, this is the standard. And do you agree to be on my virtual summit? If so, then you have to send my mailing out 10 times and, you know, really harass your people.
Yes.
So the collaborations in this idea of, again, a win-win situation, I even say win-win-win, the third win is for the planet, so that we feel good. And yes, obviously we want to make money, but we don't want to, you know, feel like we're manipulating the other person because we're now imposing our rules on them. If they feel good about what we're doing together, they will share it. If they, you know, don't, then it's probably not the right partner. But just coming to these collaborations and summits, they still work beautifully, those summits. And it's when you can tell that there is alignment between the people who are hosting the summit, they're so much fun and they don't feel like, you know, staged. But when you do feel, oh, this is just a thing where everybody gets a commission and, you know, it's like, how many people do you have on your list? Can you send it out 7 times? You can immediately tell this is just a schmooze fest and it just doesn't feel good.
And when there are collaborations that are authentic and you love the other person, that is where you get the best referrals, because that's if the people that that person is attracting, probably you're going to like you if you like the person.
Exactly.
You know? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So. No, totally. And I think it's people naturally want to help each other, right? And that's really also like astrologically speaking, since I know you talk about that a lot on your podcast, we're heading towards that. And so it's just going to be another level of collaboration, I think, that people are open to do, especially your people who are already, you know, ahead in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely exciting when you find somebody to collaborate with, what you're talking about, like any type of relationship. You want the person to be in a relationship with you because they love you and they want to, you know, be with you, not follow the 10 rules if you want to be in a relationship with me. Yeah. That just doesn't work.
Yeah. The other thing I would say is, like, you know, newsletters never got old. I think we just don't necessarily need to call them newsletters anymore, because people are like, well, why would I want to be on the newsletter? Tell me what I get. But these really deep conversations in newsletters and openness, vulnerability, people are still reading those. So I think that's one of the best ways to stay in touch with your people.
And to do newsletters where you're not trying to sell them something too.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, exactly. Here's just some information that I've learned that I would like to share with you.
Yeah.
And occasionally you can put in there, of course, your sale information, but that's not the main. Yeah, exactly. That's not the main reason why you're keeping in touch with them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm glad that you brought up about everybody having the thing that works for them. I need to tell you, after 20 years in the mortgage industry, I hated LinkedIn, because all of the comments that I got and contacts were, will you hire me? Can you refer me to somebody? There were, for me, there weren't a lot of authentic conversations there. So I was so excited on my last day in the industry where I could delete that LinkedIn. But it's so many people do find value there. So for some of people that are not familiar with LinkedIn, or even how to start there, can you just give us a few of the getting started tips?
Yeah. First, I would say LinkedIn has definitely changed in the last, I would say, probably 3 to 5 years. And that change happened when the millennials came over to LinkedIn. And it was like, you know, breeze of fresh air coming in, and they're like, what's with this stiff network here?
Yes.
Change things up a bit. And so ever since then, people did become much more personable. It has become much less stiff. Obviously, the older kind of generation, not in age, but in terms of how long they've been on LinkedIn, they're like, what's going on here? It's like Facebook now. And so there was a bit of that, but it has become much more, you know, like a social network rather than a show off and look at me and, you know,
yes,
commercial chamber of commerce kind of network. So that has been really refreshing. And in terms of what I sometimes tell my clients, also kind of who have looked at LinkedIn, but they're like, I just don't know what to do with this animal. It's a different animal. And I think it's really this mindset where we thought LinkedIn is this professional and business network. And so a lot of people still have this idea that we're talking to businesses on LinkedIn, right? And I always tell them, but what's a business? What is a business made of? A business is made of people as well. And so what you have on LinkedIn is just people working in a business. So nothing's really changed. You're still talking to people. So if you are a light worker, obviously, you know, the conversation is a little bit different. It's a little bit maybe more professional or kind of oriented towards more professional themes, but you're still talking to people. You're not talking to businesses. So really kind of getting away from that intimidation that you have to be all stiff and professional, because then we're going back to, you know, wearing this mask and being someone we're not. And that's not at all the idea. So in terms of, you know, your audience, it's really about still being you and doing what you do. Just maybe thinking of the angle. People who are on LinkedIn, they're there for professional reasons. They're in kind of, they're wearing their business card, right? That's who they are. But they still have a private life. They still have, you know, their own personal problems. It's just that they're showing up kind of a bit more professionally. The other thing I would say, Renee, is that we're in this bridge time anyway, and the difference between kind of business and personal life gets, you know, they get closer and closer together. And so when 5 years ago, it was like, oh my God, you can never talk about energy in a professional environment. Now you totally can, right? And so I think there is definitely a place for, you know, healers and light workers and all these beautiful people on LinkedIn. It's just that you need to remember that you're not talking to businesses, but you need talking to people.
You're talking to people. You said that so great. It almost makes me want to go and sign back up for LinkedIn because I love the idea of it changing to be more personal. And you're right. Before it was bigger business cards in a sense. Yeah. And so the millennials, thank goodness for them, you know, yeah. Really. So many big, great changes have happened because of that. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else that you want to mention before we go, that little tidbits on marketing or?
I think it's really just all about giving yourself permission to be yourself, bring more of your stories. I think what really is going to be the future of marketing is that storytelling that's oriented, you know, towards your worldview. People who are in your audience, I'm sure they're all also interested in you know, the climate change crisis, everything that's going on right now, and sharing those things that are important to you with your ideal clients. That's marketing, because if people are aligned with your values and you have a solution to their problem, they're much more likely to buy from you than, you know, any other person that they don't know. And so it's really building that connection with your potential clients. And that's where the stories and the personal worldview comes in.
Years ago, when I first started my mortgage company, I started it basically because my mom is gay and she was having difficulty getting a mortgage. And so I said, well, I'll help you with that, you know, and then it helped her with her mortgage because there was discrimination back in that time, a lot of it. And then I helped a friend and another friend of hers. And before I knew it, I had like this company helping gay people get mortgages. So I clearly on my website, that was my, you know, I help gay people get mortgages. Yeah. And it was so wonderful because immediately if you had a closed mind or didn't feel, you know, like that you could be open-minded about, you wouldn't come to me for your business. So it weeded out so many closed-minded people at that time. So
that's your worldview, right?
That was my worldview. Totally. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it's the hippie to business coach, right? I have to be honest, many years working on LinkedIn, attracting these stiff business people. And every time I'm like, what am I doing? Why do they keep coming to me? Right? Yes. I don't want to work with them. And so putting that clearly out there, obviously keeps away the people that are just not right for you, and it attracts the ones that are
right for you. So thank you so much, Sarah. You have a wonderful one-page marketing plan that you can download from your website, and your website is just your name, sarahsantacroce.com, and I'll put a link in the podcast notes so people can go directly there. Thank you so much. It's been lovely talking with you, and your attitude about this and gentle marketing is just fabulous, and clearly the way that we're heading as a society. So, yeah, I know. You also mentioned a book. I just want to make sure I get that in there. What's the name of the book?
Yeah, the book is going to be called The Gentle Marketing Revolution. And it's coming out. I wanted to wait, you know, for the new year.
Yes, I don't blame you.
So I'm putting it out during the actually there's a week in February called the Random Acts of Kindness Week.
Yes.
And I'm gonna publish it during that week.
Oh, wonderful. If you could please let me know when it's up, and I'll make sure that I let all the listeners know that it's up too, because I know a lot of people will be interested in reading that.
Wonderful.
So
yeah,
all right. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thanks for all your work and putting out those episodes every week. I love them. Thank you.
I appreciate that.